It's the final day of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. In this week's segment of On the Campaign Trail, we'll start, as we have each day this week, with a live report from WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, who's been with the Wisconsin delegation all week. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, John.
So where are you calling from this morning? It feels like, where's Waldo? Where's Sean this morning?
Outside that Wisconsin delegation hotel again, where they're going to have their morning meeting. They're going to hear from a number of speakers today, including Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett and Congressman Mark Pocan of Madison.
So last night, the convention heard from some pretty big names, including President Obama, Vice President Biden, and Vice Presidential candidate Tim Kaine. How were they received by the Wisconsin delegation?
Tim Kaine, I think you saw get a reaction of, all right, you know, he was not a person who exactly electrified the crowd in the way that some of the other speakers did, but they liked when he was doing his impression of Donald Trump. He had this refrain in his speech of, believe me, kind of mocking Trump's oft-repeated words. And, you know, if you look at pretty much any of Trump's speeches, even the nomination speech that he had at the Republican convention last week, where he stayed really closely to script and stayed on that teleprompter, he had to throw in a few times, believe me, when he really wanted to stress the point. So Democrats are trying to use that to kind of poke fun at him and to turn it around and say, why would you believe him? You know, what has he done to make you believe him? So I think that's kind of the memorable moment from his speech for Democrats. For President Obama's speech, it was, you know, pretty electric in the room there. President Obama made his debut on the national stage at the 2004 Democratic National Convention. So it's been 12 years. He delivered a speech that at least the Wisconsin delegate that I talked to said was, you know, optimistic, really struck tones of unity, and kind of one of the best speeches that she'd heard the president give since he'd been president.
Today, two of Wisconsin's elected officials are scheduled to take the stage, Congresswoman Gwen Moore and Senator Tammy Baldwin. What are they expected to say?
Tammy Baldwin is going to be with a group of women senators, so I'm not sure what she's going to say, if she'll have a big speaking part as part of that, or if she'll just be on stage. We'll find out tonight. Congresswoman Gwen Moore can be, when she's at state conventions, Gwen Moore follows no script, and her speeches can go all over the place, and she usually has a crowd of Wisconsin Democrats kind of eating out of her hand. I'm not sure she's going to get that much time on the Democratic National Convention stage. They've got a lot of speakers, so you can be sure she'll say good things about Hillary Clinton, and probably in her own Gwen Moore way, take some digs at Donald Trump.
And you mentioned Hillary Clinton. She'll, of course, give her acceptance speech tonight. Can you give us a preview?
I can't. I mean, she has a lot of pressure on her here for this speech, I think, as any nominee does. But she's been preceded by some speakers who were, you know, pretty well reviewed by people who watched and listened. I mean, President Bill Clinton obviously was here, is known for his speaking. President Obama last night, Michelle Obama earlier in the week. The crowd here at the Democratic National Convention likes what they've been hearing, and there's been a lot of energy in the room. So Hillary Clinton is not known for her, you know, her stump speech, really. I mean, she's not an orator in the way, at least by reputation, in the way that President Obama is. We'll see how that works for her and what message she decides to hit home.
Meanwhile, on the Republican side, Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence made his first appearance in Wisconsin last night, taking the stage with Governor Walker in Waukesha. Tell us about what happened there.
Yeah, so our colleague, Kyla Calvert-Mason, covered that for Wisconsin Public Radio, your little update in the newscast. I think it's noteworthy that he was where he was. I mean, he was at the same Waukesha hall where Governor Walker announced his recall election victory and where Governor Walker kicked off his campaign for president. At least from the pictures I saw, it didn't fill the arena in the way that Walker did for those events. So, you know, that is a part of the state where Republicans are having issues getting their base excited. That Southeast Wisconsin counties of Waukesha, Washington, and Ozaukee are the deepest red counties in the state and really turn out the vote. And as of right now, they're kind of iffy on Donald Trump. Mike Pence, though, came there and presented himself as more of a Scott Walker Republican. And so they're hoping with Mike Pence to reach out to those traditional Republican voters who aren't so excited about going out to vote for Trump.
Last question. What are you watching for the rest of the day, Sean?
It's just, I think, a big lead up to the Clinton speech. So, you know, what Wisconsin Democrats are hoping to hear from her. She has not done great in Wisconsin in her elections here. You know, she lost pretty handily to President Obama in 2008, lost pretty handily to Bernie Sanders in 2016. They were both embraced by the, you know, more, I think the progressive or left wing of the Democratic Party rallied around them in a way that they didn't rally around Hillary Clinton. So it's kind of an open question of why she hasn't caught on in those primary settings in the way that Obama and Sanders did. So she is trying to reach, obviously, not just Wisconsin primary voters tonight. She's reaching out to the general electorate of America. But, you know, she is, of course, hoping to unify the Democratic Party in states like Wisconsin that have the potential to be close. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Sean. And good luck today and safe travels as you return back to Madison.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, joined us from Philadelphia every day this week, the home of this week's Democratic National Convention. And our coverage wraps up tomorrow morning. Coming up next, we'll hear from one of Wisconsin's eight superdelegates, John Munson in for Joy Cardine, on the Ideas Network of WPR. We're on the campaign trail on the Joy Cardine Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. My next guest is somebody you've heard here before because Christine Bremer-Moogley is an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau and a regular on our Friday Week in Review programs. She's one of Wisconsin's eight Democratic superdelegates and has been attending the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia this week. Christine, welcome back to the Ideas Network. It's good to have you with us. And let us know how you've been enjoying the festivities this week.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me. I'm in my hotel room when my co-delegates are all over having breakfast, so I'm sacrificing my breakfast.
Wow.
This morning.
That's huge.
And I'll tell you what, that is huge because we didn't get to bed till 3:30 last night. So I got up at 6, and here we are. But, you know, I don't think people realize how hard it is to be a delegate to the convention. They work us hard. We work. We get up at 6 every morning and have breakfast. You have to go to breakfast as a delegate because if you don't show up, you don't get your floor pass.
So how are you gonna manage that?
I've already been over and they gave it to me, so I'm ready. I wouldn't miss it tonight for anything.
Well, we appreciate the sacrifice you're making to join us here on the Joy Cardine Show. I really really appreciate it.
Anything for you.
Okay. So, what have you been most impressed with so far?
Oh, you know, it's been a whirlwind for us. I got here on Friday last week and to experience Philadelphia a little bit and see the historic sites and to experience the excitement in the city. Philadelphia is gorgeous and it's blistering hot. I think it's been raining ever since we've been gone from Wisconsin, hasn't it? But here it's just boiling. And so, you know, the delegates have all been out on the street talking to each other, looking at how beautiful the city has been decorated for us and welcomed us. And so for us, first of all, it was experiencing this city, and it's such a great place to have this convention. You know, John, this is my third Democratic convention, and I was in Denver and in Charlotte in 12, and now here. And the city here is just really, really wonderful. So we're all really loving that. And the okay. Wisconsin delegation is together.
We're going to come back to that, but first we have to get a newscast in here. 800-642-1234, what do you think of the Democratic Convention so far? Are you excited about Hillary Clinton being the candidate? How do you feel about the leaked emails? We'll get into all of that after the news. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're on the campaign trail talking about the Democratic National Convention and other related stories with Christine Bremer-Moogley, attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, and a regular guest on our Friday Week in Review programs. She's one of Wisconsin's eight superdelegates and is in Philadelphia for the convention. For you who are listening today, if you consider yourself a Democrat, how enthusiastic are you about Hillary Clinton as the party's presidential nominee? What would you like to hear her say in her acceptance speech tonight? And what do you make of this whole email, this leaked email thing, showing that the DNC was giving preference to Clinton over Bernie Sanders? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org, talk at WPR.org, or you can post to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Again, 800-642-1234. Christine, Hillary Clinton became the official presidential nominee, the first woman from a major party to accomplish such a feat. I know you're a big Clinton supporter. How does this make you feel?
Oh, well, you know, I feel wonderful about it. We all came together at the convention, finally, I think. At first, you know, the convention was not unison, and our delegation certainly wasn't. We had, you know, 56% of the people of Wisconsin voted in the Democratic primary for Bernie Sanders and 43 for Hillary. So our delegation reflects that proportionality. And so, you know, at first, you know, people, you know, you feel strongly about your candidate. And Bernie Sanders created a movement that is really evident in the hall. And so, you know, it's been difficult for some people to accept the fact that Hillary will be our nominee. But for those of us that support her, it was a cathartic moment, really. And the hall, when Senator Sanders came forward and by acclamation declared or moved that all the votes be given to Senator or to Secretary Clinton, I mean, the hall erupted in joy. And you know, I've been sitting with some Sanders delegates right behind me who are good friends now, and you know, I think it's everyone was happy. I mean, they might not be totally satisfied, but they're happy, and we're all celebratory. So I think, you know, from the standpoint of our delegation, for the most part, it's a great celebration.
Well, one of the stories here, I mean, Hillary Clinton is the nominee of the party, and she got the nomination, and that's a big deal. Media outlets, including the Chicago Tribune, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, responded by putting a picture of her husband, former President Bill Clinton, on the front page. What's the message here?
You know, as a 60-plus-year-old lawyer who has fought all my life as a feminist, I can tell you that it's certainly not surprising from the Chicago Tribune. But, we have to remember that, you know, some of the younger women and some of the younger people just don't, they've heard about Hillary Clinton all their lives, and they don't realize what a leader she's been and fighting for for all of us. And, you know, we all stand on her shoulders. She really fought the way, and she's been demonized for 40 years by people that just cannot accept the fact that a really brilliant woman can have a position of power, in my opinion. And so, you know, when we now say, well, that's no big deal, I don't really need to support her because, you know, I don't think we vote on the fact that she's a woman, and that's true. But the reason we don't anymore is because there have been people like her. And so now we have her here. and she's now taking this position of power. And, you know, it's very hard for some people to stomach that. But you know what? They're going to get over it because she's going to be our next president.
So what are you hoping to hear from Hillary Clinton tonight when she gives her acceptance speech?
Well, I think we're going to hear a very positive message. You know, I think the Democrats have now taken over and own this American vision, this dream that Ronald Reagan always spoke about, this morning in America. I mean, now that belongs to us, because when Trump got up in his convention, we all heard him talk about America being, as President Obama said, a crime scene. I mean, we now own a positive vision, and I think that's what she's going to talk about. It's not going to be threats. It's not going to be talking about herself as being the one savior for the United States, as Donald Trump said. Instead, she's going to talk about how we together will make changes in this country, and it will be a vision for what she believes can be done if we all stay together and work hard in this really kind of trying time in our country.
Most of Bernie Sanders' delegates from Wisconsin cheered when Clinton officially became the nominee. Sanders had called for a unanimous ballot to nominate Clinton, but there were some who left the convention hall as an act of protest. How concerned are you about those Democrats who are refusing to get on board the Clinton bandwagon?
Well, you know, I'm not concerned about it, because I think that if they are truly progressives in their heart, by the time November comes along, they're going to vote for the progressive candidate, and that is Hillary Clinton. The more you hear from Donald Trump, the more demagoguery that he puts forward, the more misogyny, the more racism, the more division. These people that are Bernie delegates in their heart don't believe in any of that. You know, we were lucky enough in our delegation to have Senator Sanders come and speak to us yesterday. It was amazing, you know, to have him there. We've had Cory Booker there. You know, we've had some great speakers, and all of these delegates who are very strong Bernie supporters have been there, and they've listened to these talks, and they've remembered something that I think is really, really important, and that is this. What Bernie Sanders did is he did something no one thought he could do. This unknown senator from Vermont created a movement. You know, not unlike the movement Howard Dean created, and not unlike, you know, the movement that Reverend Jesse Jackson created with the Rainbow Coalition that many of us remember. These movements become part of our lexicon and part of our culture. And Bernie Sanders' movement will become part of our culture. And that has been extremely important to all of us Democrats. We won't forget this. You heard President Obama say, cheer for Bernie last night. You know, everyone believes that the movement he created is really important, and it won't be forgotten. So that's part of us now. And I think they're going to know that it is, and they're going to accept that. And people that have been Bernie supporters, just like those that were Hillary supporters in 2008 when we went into that convention, and I was there with friends who were fighting with me because I was Obama in those days. She came in with only 69 less delegates than Obama had. People forget that. They were so close, we weren't even sure what was going to happen. This is totally different this time in terms of votes. But what's not in terms of the closeness of it, but really what is really different is there's a movement here. And this movement is not going away, and I think they'll come forward with it. So there's no reason to protest this. There's no reason to put tape over your mouth and say you're silenced, as one of our delegation did famously. I think a lot of people probably saw that. She was sitting in front of me. You know, I asked her, why do you're a delegate. You've got a voice. Why don't you use it? You're not being silenced. You're here. You were elected to be here. You're not silenced. Speak. So, you know, I think that people have to remember that and understand that the obligation of the delegate is to bring forward the message that we hear at the convention and go out and work your tail off for the candidate that we have nominated. And I hope that's what happens. You know, one of the most outspoken Bernie or bust people, outspoken, is Nina Turner, very strong African-American senator from Ohio. She's speaking right now to our breakfast delegation. And, you know, she's so outspoken that her credential was pulled because she was saying some things that were pretty rough. But she has said that, you know, she's not Bernie or bust any longer. She believes, as Senator Sanders does, that we must be unified to defeat Donald Trump. And so she's at our delegation speaking, and it just shows you if one of the most outspoken Bernie or bust people is now speaking in favor of this candidate and speaking in favor of what we as Americans believe, as President Obama reminded us last night, then I think there's a great future for us.
Let's go to the phones and take a call from Mary, who's joining us from La Crosse this morning. Mary, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
I'm wondering, there were so many of us when we started becoming familiar with Bernie Sanders, and you know we were debating, do we vote for her, do we vote for Bernie because we really like him, and wouldn't it have cooled? And I think he's perfectly qualified. I don't know Tim Kaine, and wouldn't it have cooled the Wasserman thing if she had chosen him for her, Bernie Sanders for her running mate? And I'm just wondering why he wasn't considered, because to me that would have sealed the deal. They would have taken the country by storm and really wiped out Trump.
Well, thanks, Mary. You know, I think that when you're president, you pick a vice president who will be at your shoulder and will serve you and will be someone who will help you, as Joe Biden has been such a great aide to President Obama. And you can't second-guess that choice, and you can't underestimate how important that is, that power of a presidential nominee to pick probably the next president oftentimes, or at least someone who's a great leader. I think that her pick, I know Tim Kaine. I've met with him numbers of times. I got the honor of introducing him to a matter at our convention last year. And, you know, you could see his character maybe come across on television. We couldn't watch it on television, but, you know, he is an amazing guy. And he is an ethical man, a brilliant man. He is someone that will stand by her. And I think when the American people really get to know him, they are going to love him. And so, you know, and the other thing that you talk about, Mary, is this DNC thing. You know, at the convention, I'm a member of the Democratic National Committee. That's why I'm a superdelegate. That's the only thing that really means, is that you have been elected to be a member of the Democratic National Committee. So I've met with Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz before, and she's tough. And, you know, I think I'm tough. I'm nothing compared to her. But she's a really tough woman, and she worked really, really hard for the party. And that position is a position that is, you know, firing line. And that what happened was wrong. It was horrible. Everyone acknowledges that. Donna Brazile, who you probably have seen on CNN, she's our interim leader. She came to one of our meetings, the Women's Caucus, that I attended. And she walked in and, you know, she's extremely popular. And she said one of the first things out of her mouth was an apology, and to say, this is not going to happen again. There will be reform in the Democratic Party. The vice chair of the Democratic Party, R.T. Ryback, who was the former mayor of Minneapolis, spoke to our delegation and apologized on behalf of the DNC for what they did and how it was handled, and promised reform. That's not going to happen again, that kind of conduct. That was outrageous. And I think that we'll get that behind us, because the apologies are sincere, the leadership is new, and it's made up of people who we can trust. And so I think we'll get past that. And Mary, once you get to know Tim Kaine, you'll be with me, and you'll be a Kaine supporter.
Mary, thanks for the call. What we're talking about here is the release of thousands of DNC emails showing what appeared to be a coordinated effort to help Clinton at the expense of her Democratic opponents, particularly Bernie Sanders. That leak forced party chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz to resign, and then she was replaced by Donna Brazile. How badly do you think Hillary Clinton was hurt by these email releases?
Well, Hillary Clinton, I don't think she's personally hurt. She didn't have anything to do with that. That was the way the DNC handled that. And I don't really think she was hurt by it. I think the person who's hurt by this is Donald Trump, after yesterday, you know, calling on the Russians to hack again and hack into one of our American political parties and to, you know, more or less, you know, invite other countries to spy on the United States and do what they can to even go into our State Department emails. It's outrageous. So I think that this email controversy with regard to the DNC, it's bad for our party. We have to move past that, and I think we have over this. We're healing over this. The delegates want an apology. They're getting an apology, very strong one, and they're getting reform. But where the emails come in, you know, the way we're hearing it and the way I feel about it and what it appears to be, you know, it's just this Donald Trump coming forward now and saying, you know, that he's inviting a foreign country to hack our emails. It's outrageous. And then he claims this morning, oh, I was just being sarcastic. I guess not. If anyone saw him speak, he wasn't being sarcastic. He was at a podium with the American flags behind him. How do you think foreign nations look at this? Let me just tell you, I sit in the front of the delegation, which is right on the floor of the convention hall, because I want to be able to see this unbelievable pageantry of this convention. But we get interviewed by foreign press, a lot of them. They stick their microphones right in your face, and they're from India or they're from England or Germany or wherever. And they say to us, what do you think about these things? How do you feel about these emails? And then yesterday, one of the British ones came to me and put his mic to me and said, it was right after we had nominated Hillary Clinton, and he said, I have to tell you that the people in my country are joyous that you've nominated Hillary Clinton because they are so terrified of the prospect of Donald Trump. And that's one of our strongest allies. So, you know, we have to keep in mind, you know, as Americans, what we're really looking at here. And it's, as President Obama reminded us last night, it's pretty terrifying to think of a prospect of Donald Trump. We Democrats are going to come together, and we're going to come together with a positive vision for the future. And Hillary Clinton's going to put that forward tonight. I'm sure of it.
We've had a number of calls, and one caller who couldn't stay with us, and then another call we're going to take in just a moment. I'm going to kind of combine these things because they are on a similar vein. Stephen Madison called in but couldn't stay with us, and he says that the DNC email scandal shows that the entire nomination process is a lie. They will put whoever they want in the slot regardless of the voter. So there's that, and then we've got Bernie in Elkhorn, and let's take Bernie now. Bernie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning. There's no reason to think Russia had anything to do with these emails. Investigative reporter Chris Hedges talked about that on Democracy Now. Stephen Madison is right on. I was a Bernie supporter. I'm very disappointed in him. I'll be voting for Jill Stein for president. The Democratic Party is completely controlled by corporate money. That's why Obama's pushing for the TPP. That's why Hillary Clinton will sign the TPP, even though she says she won't. She's a warmonger. She's overturned regimes in Ukraine and Honduras. She's for fracking worldwide. The Democratic Party is completely beholden to corporate interests. There were hundreds of delegates that walked out, and they walked out for good reason. The DNC was taking their signs away. The Bernie supporters were seated in the back, not in the front. Hillary Clinton is as scary to me as Donald Trump, and all this first woman president is just a bunch of obfuscation. It means absolutely nothing. She's horrible. She's absolutely horrible, and shame on the DNC and all you lackeys for her. And Donna Brazile is another lackey for Hillary Clinton. There's no reform in the Democratic Party. We need to take the political revolution outside of the Democratic Party. Shame on these people. Just shame on all of you.
Well, shame on you, Bernie. I think that was quite a comment, and I don't think that anything you said is true. I mean, I'm here. The signs weren't taken away from anyone. They were not taken away. I sat in back of the woman who had tape across her mouth that said, silenced. No one tried to stop her. She was in the front row. You know, no one tried to stop anyone. We are Democrats. There were people with signs, stop TPP, all night last night, right in front of the president's face. No one came in to take their signs down. No one tried to silence them. So that's just not true.
Okay, I'm going to let you finish that thought. First, we have to get to some news. We're on the campaign trail talking about the Democratic National Convention. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. We're on the campaign trail on the Joy Cardine Show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joy will be back on Monday. This hour, we're talking with one of Wisconsin's superdelegates at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Christine Bremer-Moogley is an attorney at Bremer & Trollope. law offices in Wausau and one of our regulars on our Friday Week in Review program. So what's your assessment on what you've seen and heard at the Democratic Convention this week? Which speech was most memorable to you and why? And what would you like to hear from Hillary Clinton in her acceptance speech tonight? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email is talk@WPR.org, or you can post to the Joy Cardin Show Facebook page. Christine, we kind of interrupted your comment there following our two callers, one who couldn't stay with us and one who was actually on the air, who were, they had some pretty heated words about Hillary and about Bernie and about their feelings on it. I'd like you to finish what you were saying, and then we'll move on. We have a lot of other callers we'd like to get to.
Well, you know, I can be heated right back. I don't like those kind of comments, and I think it's insulting to me, and it's insulting to all the people that are strong progressives and work hard for our party and throughout the state. And there's many, many, many working people. They're not bought by anybody. I'm not bought by anybody. So, you know, when people say those kinds of things, they're talking about us. So hold your tongue and think about who you're talking about when you talk about the Democratic Party being bought. You're talking about your friends and neighbors and progressives throughout the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, I just don't tolerate that anymore. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to listen to it, and I'm not going to agree with it. So what we want to do is look forward with a positive mission and say, you know, our goal is to bring the good parts, and there are many, of this Bernie Sanders movement into our platform, which we have done. It's our job to bring the whole party together, which we are doing. And tonight, that will be cemented. I think that if people want to vote for the Green Party, you know, that's your choice. I'm old enough to remember the election when Ralph Nader and Bush and Gore ran against each other. And I remember many Democrats who were people voting for Ralph Nader and telling me, when I said, you know, that's risky, we could lose this election to Bush. And they'd say, well, too bad, the Democratic Party has to be taught a lesson. Is that a lesson we want to repeat? The destabilization of the world? The Bush years? What happened? I don't think so. This is a very, very crucial time. And Hillary Clinton is absolutely ready to lead. And this isn't about the DNC being bought out. This is about us standing up for what's right for America. So I don't tolerate those kind of comments.
Let's take another phone call. This time we'll go to Steve in Arkansas. Hi, Steve. You know, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for calling me. This is exactly what us white men in this country are sick and tired of. These politicians using this tone with us against we the people. I'll tell you one thing. My family's come a long history of Democrats, and they've changed to be Republicans through the years because the corruption in the Democratic Party. They condone homosexuality, abortion, parting out babies. Come on. We're sick of this crap. Now, we're sick of leaders leading us. They ain't worthy to lead us. If the Democrats think they're going to take away our Constitution, right to bear arms, there will indeed be a civil war. Let there be no doubt about that.
All right, Steve, we get it. Christine?
Great callers here this morning here, John.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that great call from Arkansas. I don't even want to respond to it. It's a bunch of
okay.
junk.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, that's the number to call. We'd like to keep things civil here on the Joy Cardin Show, and I think that would make a much better discussion. Let's have some real issues to talk about instead of just ranting. 800-642-1234, let's go. John is with us in Waukesha. Let's go there next, and if we can get that on the air. John, hello. Go ahead.
Good morning. First of all, thank you for the show. I'm a very, or would have been a very staunch supporter of Bernie Sanders. I think he was an individual that comes along just once in a lifetime. But I certainly am going to be voting for Hillary because it's a clear choice. My call in today is centered around, is there a way to suggest that Bernie be replaced? Replace Debbie Wasserman Schultz as the DNC chair. Truly, that would be a way to unite the party and keep his, quote, revolution alive. As a leader of the DNC, that strong influence would go a tremendous way in keeping this going forward.
It's a great idea. You know, I think that even though Bernie, you know, had not been a Democrat, to have him come in with an independent voice and independent ideas and to unify the party, if he'd be willing to do that, boy, wouldn't that be something? I think that's a wonderful idea. And I'm going to talk it out today. So thanks for the great thought. I don't know if he would want to do it. You know, it's a hard job, clearly a very hard job. And I think that what Bernie Sanders wants to do, and he's very much needed as a voice in the Senate, is to lead the march toward $15 an hour minimum wage. I think he's very, very interested in doing that and to work on the trade policies. I think he's going to be a very strong leader in those two things, which are crucial to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Leading the DNC is also very important, but it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time. He might not want to do that. There are many others that are very qualified, I'm sure, that will step forward and lead the DNC. The DNC is going to be different than it has been, I can tell you that. That's for sure. But thanks for that great, great thought.
John, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
John, I just wonder if we could just talk a little bit about what was kind of amazing to me last night. I mean, the quality of the oratory was really something. I think it was one of President Obama's greatest speeches, and certainly the farewell speech of Joe Biden, and the emotionality in the hall was really patent. But one of the things that was really interesting was Bloomberg's speech. I mean, you know, we didn't really know what he was going to say, and some of the things he said, we in the hall, you know, certainly didn't agree with when he talked about where he disagreed with Hillary. But when he started to go toward, you know, as a man who knows Donald Trump and as a member of the billionaire club with Donald, for him to say the things he said about him, I thought was really, really interesting. And, you know, calling him risky, reckless, and radical, and saying that, you know, this is reality. This is not reality TV, and his words were so powerful to let people know that this is something that you do not for party but for country, and I was so glad to hear that, and I think that that message is something that will be strongly reverberated and repeated throughout this election, that this is something that we have to think about our country, and we have to think about who would be possibly elected if Hillary Clinton is not made our next president. I think it's when you have a man like Bloomberg, who is a strong independent and from New York, say these things. It was very powerful.
Yeah, we have a comment from Linda on Facebook who writes, I will vote for Hillary because a vote for Stein, who is not even on some states' ballots, would be a vote for Trump. Dividing the party, as Ralph Nader did, will put our country into the hands of the Republicans. And I'm sure that's a sentiment you would agree with.
Right. You know, I think that one of the most fearful things for me personally about Trump is where this is a man who says he gets his information from watching the news on television. Now, think about that. This is a man that has no close advisors. If you look at the difference between our convention and if any of you bothered to watch the Republican convention, I'm certain some of you did. I did. They had people like soap opera stars coming up. They had no one that was truly a mind that could be an advisor to Trump, because I think he advises himself. And when President Obama, who is a brilliant man, who had surrounded himself with great minds and took it all into himself before he made a decision, as we saw in the film last night, and you think about a man like Trump who's going to, you know, just move from the hip because he apparently thinks he's the smartest person he ever met. You know, I think it's frightening. And this isn't a time for we progressives who are kindred to stand apart. This is a very, very important time for everyone to become really involved. A man like Bloomberg, who worked with Donald Trump for years and years, the building, you know, Donald Trump built all those buildings in New York when he was mayor. And if Bloomberg can't stand him, and he says, I know a con when I see one, then what are we even thinking about here? This isn't a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We as Americans have to stand together. This isn't something that we can play around with and fight with each other. Bernie Sanders was very clear about that when he spoke to our delegation. He told all of our members, out of Bernie's mouth, I was sitting in front of him, out of Bernie's mouth, he told them, this is not the time to be divided. Our platform reflects what the movement wanted. And we need to support that platform and move forward. And Bernie will be a very strong voice in the party as we move forward.
We've got about a minute left, Christine. What are you looking for today in terms of the convention?
I'm looking for a great close to this convention so we can go home, and these delegates, who are all party leaders throughout the country, can go home with the energy that we need to really fight and make do everything we can to win this election. You know, what we really have to do is, you know, like Al Franken said, give up your job, don't work anymore, don't take care of your kids. He was hysterical. But we have to really work hard and stick together and no longer fight with each other, because we are kindred souls. And I think tonight we'll feel that and go home, you know, as a party united and be ready to move this country forward and not backward.
Give me your 30-second take on why Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine should be the next leaders of our country.
Well, Hillary Clinton is someone who has worked all her life, you know, truly all her life, for in service to this country. When she could have made, you know, a career doing almost anything else, she chose to be in service. When her husband retired as president, did she have to run for Senate? No. You know, does she have to run for president? No. She could have a nice, easy life right now. But she has it burning in her soul to lead this country and to serve. And I think she's going to be an incredible leader, a leader that will build consensus and not division. And so with Tim Kaine at her shoulder, it's going to be fantastic next 4 years.
All right, Christine, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate your time
today. Thank
you, John.
Thank you.
Christine Bremer-Moogley is an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Office in Wausau and one of Wisconsin's 8 superdelegates. She's been attending the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. She's a regular on our Week in Review program on Friday mornings on The Joy Cardine Show. This hour was produced by Bill Martins, Nyasia Ellison, Brianna Shasso, and Kai Brito. Tomorrow at this time, guest our guest political scientist analyzes Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech and other notable moments from this week's Democratic convention. That's coming up tomorrow at 7. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.